It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, barhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which someday we'll check out and update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you heard is the doctor of bracketology here. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hi.
State prop very strong.
No, and I'm gonna
word this carefully, on and off the basketball court this week.
Yeah.
I think we'll just leave it at that for now. You know what? We invite anybody onto the show. We have, and speaking of
That's
which,
right.
We have a guest.
Bring it.
He is brought, and he has his own intro. This is why we're not allowed on the first floor. Here we go.
It's me, dear friend. Alive and kicking. Well, alive anyway.
I'll be kicking you with my jingle bells.
That's it. Kick the footless man.
You know, you walk into this stuff. Oh, you roll.
Yes! Yes! Awesome!
Well, when a fella comes back from the dead, I find that an occasion to stand up, be counted.
It's not hard. Don't do a foot joke.
Well, I can see where it'd be difficult for a man of your stature to keep in touch with even half the people you know. Well, you know, beautiful women, they encourage you 1 minute and cut the legs out from under you the next.
I'm not half the man I used to be.
Wow. Why is it that the guy in the wheelchair gets a film called The Sitter?
He is not riding the rails of bad taste.
You know what? See, I was here for every one of those.
Yes, you were.
That's a beautiful thing.
And of course, even though she is not a regular player, but she is in our hearts, Gina will always be a part of this show, as is Richard Probst, who is our guest.
Bring it. At least we now know the WFYI does not discriminate.
Heck no.
Bring it on.
It's brought.
I'm
so,
here.
Yes, you are here, and he has his intro. Get used to it.
Okay, that's mixed message. I still don't have feet.
Still. Oh, is that a thing that we should check in? Richard?
We have to stump in.
Feet this week? We have the... Not the play-in games.
March 27th, and Richard still does not have feet.
Okay,
2015.
I'll update that on the board.
Every time I'm on the show, we water my legs, and they still have not grown.
Wow. Somebody call Ortho. Just kidding.
Sponsored
really.
By Ortho.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Stop. Okay. We have a lot to get to. We have lots going on. It's going to be fun. Whew. Okay. Opening in theaters. We'll start with stuff that we didn't see because we don't have time for stuff we didn't see. And we don't have time for dead people we don't like. But we do have a dead person we like a little later on in the show. A film that has been, actually, I've been reading quite a bit. It's been getting a pretty good buzz. Kobe, apparently it's a smarter than the average horror film. I know that means nothing to you,
nope.
but the film It Follows is finally in Indianapolis. I know it played the festival circuit last year and mm-hmm. beginning of the year, and been actually hearing decent things of that. Also, a film called Serena, which is the reteaming of Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, but I don't know anybody who has seen it, and apparently it's been on the shelf for a while.
I think it's pretty much gone straight to video, but it's like playing in one theater here.
And it's here. The one theater in the
Don't
US.
You feel special, Indianapolis?
Wow, that's an open question. We're not really going to... Thanks, Mike. Anyway, But opening in theaters today is, I guess we'll start. We'll start with the big ones because you got to see the big animated feature of the month.
I did.
Of Home.
Home.
Also known as Jim Parsons' springboard into feature film work, sort of.
Or not.
Or not, because it's the voice talent of Jim Parsons.
He's basically doing a Jar Jar Binks imitation.
No, he isn't. This,
yeah, he really kind of
but
is.
But he sounds like Sheldon Cooper.
Well, yeah, let's face it, he is Sheldon Cooper.
That's going to be a tough. I love Big Bang Theory, and I enjoy everybody's
really?
Work. I do. I also have a daughter that likes Big Bang Theory.
Your daughter rocks.
She does rock, and she reminds me I'm not allowed to talk about Penny, ever.
Ever?
but I think when Big Bang Theory is over, Jim Parsons is going to need a major career image shift.
Mm-hmm. I think basically he's going to be Robin Williams.
Oh, no, we want him breathing.
Wow.
We are mean today. Just mean-spirited. Richard's here. Richard started it.
Richard's hater egg container is larger than mine. We've known this if you're a longtime listener of film sociology.
I have a kegger of hater egg.
He's a kegger. He is the George Wallace of the critics. It's only because he's hell on wheels. And Helen Wheels. If he was on a roller derby
when I'm
team,
in drag, I'm Helen Wheels.
That's his name. That's his roller derby name. Anyway, so Jim Parsons. We hope once the series is over, you're able to make a next shift. But anyway,
actually,
so,
he is not bad in this.
He's just the voice of an extraterrestrial. Correct?
There is a weird decision that they made to turn this character, who is a boob named O.
He's a what?
A boob.
Oh, B-O-O-V?
V.
Okay, very.
Victor.
It's all in pronunciation.
Yes, it is. And I'm a Hoosier, so I can't pronunciate. Thank you very much. No, they are an alien people who are having this massive conflict with the Gorgs, who are the evildoers of this film. They are basically chased off of the planet where they were on, so they have to relocate.
So the Gorgs are basically the Religious Freedom Act people. But we're not going to go there. No,
we're not going to go there.
No, 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 no.
I thought you told me I couldn't go there.
Yeah, you can.
I am a state employee, you know. No.
You really? Well, anyway, moving on.
Let's just get everyone in trouble today.
Right. They run away from the bad people.
They run away from the bad people. They relocate to Earth. They move all the humans on Earth basically to Australia.
Wow, there's a little history right there.
Yeah, exactly.
History repeats itself.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. But they made this character who is basically, you know, the typical troubled alien.
Alien out of water.
Him. Exactly. And he uses this voice. It is a lot like Jar Jar Binks. You know, it's very...
Really? They don't use that in the trailer, though.
It's pretty awful.
Oh, no.
And at first I thought, well, maybe he's just getting used to Earth language and all the other aliens will be doing it. But no, it was just him.
Just him.
And after a while I got used to it, but it was kind of, excuse the pun, jarring. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
You've been saving that.
Yeah, he has.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, no, I only save foot jokes.
Oh, that's so not true. And yet we keep you coming back. But yeah, anyway.
You need to work on your judgment skills. So anyway, okay. So we have him doing that. He gets in trouble. He has to run away. He runs into this teenager named Gratuity. Nickname Tip.
Oh, God.
I know. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So the good thing about it is she is voiced by Rihanna.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who does actually some amazing voice work in this film. I think. Very sweet, very intelligent. It's actually, if you've been hoping for a strong African-American female character in an animated film, you're going to love this.
Okay.
Because she is a young girl. Who is intelligent, who is searching for her mom, who got sucked away by these aliens. It's a really neat character. You know, you wish they had done as well with O as they did with her.
Hmm.
So
yes, I heard, we know that with an animated feature like this, and I've already seen a line in the trailer where the alien is throwing his hands in the air. How much pop culture reference, how much of that is in this?
And he uses that line twice.
Okay, but is he jamming to like 20-year-old pop songs?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, but there is some. Lot.
There is. That's a red flag. There's some pop culture, and
that's great.
So,
you know why? Because pop culture 20 years ago, wacky. Just like, well, your films of the 70s, Kobe.
Different time.
Different time.
different totally.
Does Kobe remember the 70s?
No, he does not. But
isn't he like 17?
He is not 17. He's a grown married man with a cat.
You're still married?
Yes. Yes.
Wait a minute. Why is it such a big deal that he's still
married?
Wow. It's been over a year.
Well, you're whipped, though. So it's different.
Wow. Anyway. Anyway. Getting back to home film. So I guess overall, would you recommend it?
Yeah, you know, I put it kind of in the middle of the road. Kind of. Yes, I give it a slight recommendation. The last 30 minutes almost redeems the film because it wraps up nicely, has a great ending. Animation is fun to watch. I think young kids are going to love the film.
Okay. And parents, the various degrees
will
of
enjoy
patience.
Watching their kids enjoy the film.
There you go. Okay. Now, there's going to be, just so there's no confusion, but there are two films with similar titles, although I don't think anybody's going to go into a theater and get these mixed up.
Will Ferrell does amazing Israeli.
Well, we have a film called Get, The Trial of Yasmin Aslam, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Okay.
But there's also the film Get Hard, which is the, 12th film from Kevin Hart in the last 6 months?
Yeah, exactly.
And Will Ferrell's, it's his fourth film in the last 12 months, or at least it feels like it. I don't think people are going to be going into the multiplex looking for the Israeli Israeli divorce film, and I don't think people are going to the art house. Where's the Kevin Hart Will Ferrell? I don't think that's going to happen. But just in case, because you're a special group of listeners,
they are different films.
They're different films, similar titles.
So if you're not understanding the language, you might have gone into the Israeli film.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
It is Israeli, right?
Unless you're Israeli and you don't understand English, then you might have gone into the Will Ferrell film.
That's a distinct possibility. So that's why
there you go. So just suffice to say, if you go to the movie and you don't understand the language, you are in the wrong film.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't just need a language barrier in that case. So Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, basically studios are trying to get the Kevin Hart audience and the Will Ferrell audience to commingle, and they have this film.
They're trying to get a Will Ferrell film to make money again.
It's been a while.
It has been. Let's face it.
And this one, if I remember, he's a white collar criminal, and he's preparing to have to go to jail.
He has to go to jail, convicted of fraud,
because that's what white people do.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it's a white collar crime. You know,
right?
It's
and so he's getting
violence.
He's getting thug training from Kevin Hart, who's not really a thug trainer.
Who's not really? Yeah.
So over under more or less rape. Prison rape jokes than a regular Bob and Tom broadcast.
People still listen to Bob and Tom?
Send all notes to Richard Perk. Care of.
I'm only kidding, Bob and Tom, if you're listening.
Okay, so anyway, okay. So they get the bounce off each other.
Definitely more, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely more.
Great. So how is this one working?
You know, this is a very, it has moments when it works really, really well. Believe it or not, the two actually have a good chemistry.
Okay.
Which kind of surprised me. You know, I thought, you know, Hart can be pretty over the top and Ferrell tends to be.
Well, and this is not I'm not sure who's directing this, but it doesn't seem, it's not a Will Ferrell film. It's not
no.
an anchor, you know, he doesn't have his.
No, Adam McKay was involved in the script, but that's about all he did.
But I mean, it's not his usual team of supporting players and filmmakers, you know, and because Will has
I think
that.
Tim Johnson.
Okay,
directed
all right.
It. So anyway, it's, you know, it has moments when it's really funny, when it's, their chemistry just brings it to life. Tim Johnson has been more known as a writer. I honestly can't remember.
Kobe, could you IMDb?
I'm looking here.
He's already on it. Look at that.
Ethan Cohen?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of a different film. Ethan Cohen.
That's the director?
Yes.
What else is Ethan Cohen done?
Oh, let's see. Ethan.
He wrote Men in Black 3, I believe.
Yeah, wrote Men in Black 3. Wrote Madagascar, Escape to Africa. He did the screenplay for Tropic Thunder.
Which was a pretty good
song. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then a bunch of TV.
Okay.
So, well, and this is his first feature film. So
does it show?
Yes. Essentially, this is the director's fault.
Okay.
I mean, this is a film. I understand why Hart and Ferrell would have agreed to it, because it gave them a good chance to do what they do. Ferrell gets to kind of play that, you know, that laid-back, fish out of water type thing that he does really well.
Right.
But that he always gives a lot of energy to. You know, he's not one of those phone it in people. He gives himself to it even when it doesn't always work.
Correct.
Kevin Hart, on the other hand, underplays more than we're kind of used to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it balances nicely. I thought the film had a little bit too much racist humor, a little bit too much homophobic stuff.
Okay.
It, you know, so the kind of the cheap humor that it didn't really need, and it really kind of got old. But there were times that it just worked really, really well. I on the independentcritic.com, I gave it 2 stars. But with a slight recommendation of, you know, you know, if you like Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, you're going to enjoy it.
We're also in that time of year where, like, well, you got to see something, maybe.
You got to see something.
Well, okay, here's the other. I have what's called the grindhouse rule. I do this for action films, mostly. Okay. There's a lot of action films that are out that would just be a lot better if they were just 70 minutes long.
True.
Like the grindhouse features.
Yeah.
Would have helped if this film was 70 or 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like 115, as I recall.
Whoa, almost two?
Isn't it, Kobe?
100 minutes.
Yeah, that's...
Man, it felt like 115.
Okay.
You make it 85 and it would have been perfect.
There you go. Because we are, of course, the theatrical scissors here at Film Sociology.
I like cutting things off.
It's...
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sir Paul Hums. All right, let's move on to the other Get, and this is, by the way, totally different audience, totally different tone. It is...
Kevin Hart is not in this film.
He is so not in this film.
Actually, and he plays the husband.
No, he does not.
He does.
Get the
Will
trial.
Will Ferrell plays the judge.
Will you stop that? It's not true.
I would not lie.
By the way, on radio, straight face. Get the trial of Vivian Amsalem.
Very good.
I'm trying. And this was, I believe, Israel's submission for
it
Best
was.
Foreign Film.
And it was a Golden Globe nominee.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to it. It is basically... A divorce trial.
Yes.
A divorce trial that goes over a span of 5 years. Over 5 years. And I was talking recently with some folks about when you film a play, one of the things that happens quite often is that a play will try to open itself up, especially if you're in a single setting, whether it's something like August Osage County or The Sunshine Boys or Doubt or something like that. So the filmmaker wants to open it up. And of course, a lot of people in the theater community not thrilled with that. It doesn't bother me. I understand it, but there are times where I would like to see somebody film something for the most part in a single space.
Exactly.
And this film does that. It is a woman's trying to get a divorce from her husband, just does not love him anymore.
Exactly.
But there's two things. One, the country. Two, her gender.
Yeah.
And she, it's not that easy.
The male has to consent to it.
Right. And so he doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to.
And there are moments where, especially early on, he just doesn't show up. Reschedule a trial they have a court appearance 6 months later, he doesn't show up. 2 months later, doesn't show up. 3 months after that, doesn't show up. Still living with him.
Yeah.
But won't show up to court. So if you think American divorces are stressful, really check this out. And whether you've been divorced or not. But, I mean,
it's
really gut-wrenching.
It's relevant this week. And in a week that we're dealing with religious freedom and that kind of an issue, this film is very much about that kind of issue.
Correct. This is a woman that just wants her freedom. Just does not love him anymore. And because of where she lives and because of the court system, she can't get out of it. And it's reminded me of, do you remember it was a Iranian film, A Separation?
Yeah.
Which was very similar in tone.
Great film.
Excellent film. And this was, I always remember that, the fact that this woman who just wanted to get out of her family, wanted to get away from his family, get on with her own life. And I remember the image of a guy looking down, he's not a judge, but here's a guy in short sleeves looking down at his paperwork, not even looking up at her, and this is the guy that's going to decide whether she can get a divorce or not. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And there's similar tones to this because like I said, this goes on for over five years. And there's questions start to come up as far as her lawyer, as far as his lawyer, which is one of his relatives. How do you address the court? You know, she's trying everything that she can to follow the proper channels, and it's like banging your head against a brick wall.
And what I love about it, one of the things that I loved about the film, and, you know, I started off in the first 5 minutes thinking I was going to hate this film.
Because this is the setup. It is in, like, one nondescript room with this pretty much the same cast of characters. We have the husband and his lawyer, the wife and his lawyer, the judge panel of three, especially the dude that looks like Manny Patinkin. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. And there's not a lot of dialogue. I mean, there's certainly dialogue. But the key character is her. I mean, she does so much with so little dialogue. I mean, it truly is a fully full-bodied performance. It's just amazing. I mean, within a few minutes, I was engrossed.
And absolutely.
As it went on, I was just like, wow.
And we get to see, you know, eventually there is a moment where she is on the witness stand, the quote-unquote witness stand.
And she's also the co-writer and co-director.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really, really solid. And that's, obviously, when a film gets some award recognition, it gets a wider audience, it gets a wider release. And I'm really, really hoping people will go check this out.
I really want people to see this one.
Absolutely.
And it's also an art film.
This one is an art film.
I got it.
You got it right this time.
That was a good movie.
No, I'd say it's more than that. It's more than that. This is a film on paper. There were a number of films last year we talked about that on paper doesn't sound the most exciting thing in the world, like Wild, Reese Witherspoon walking.
Yeah.
Lock, Tom Hardy in a car.
Yeah.
This is kind of one of those. It's a divorce film
that
takes over 5 years, but
and they let it be that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't throw, it's not Hollywood. They don't distract you.
Yeah, there's no supporting characters. They don't open it up. We don't see her at home. It's all about what
Except
is happening.
Except for that Kevin Hart cameo, there's nothing in there.
He's kidding, folks.
I am kidding.
He's really kidding. Yeah, he's a laugh riot. So anyway, that is out there. Also in theaters today, and I got to see this last week, and I'm glad I did. But it's a documentary, Red Army, which is about the Olympic Russian hockey team. And I remember going in, and I was a little nervous because I had already seen ESPN did a really good 30 for 30 documentary called Of Miracles and Men, which was about specifically the 1980 Russian hockey team and what happened to them before the Miracle on Ice and what happened to them since. This covers similar territory, especially when we get to the games itself. Mm-hmm. But there's more of a history of the Russian army and how or the Russian hockey team and how they got to be so disciplined. And I know some folks don't like to hear this, but both films have a way of kind of, you know, humanizing the Russian players.
Oh, I hate that.
What, that they're not robotic, that they're not Dolph Lundgren and Rocky IV?
I want to picture Lenin when I see them.
I am the walrus. You can't say that. You can't say that, Cove. We can't do the rest of that scene.
I could be the walrus. Still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
So, wow.
Oh, he thought I was going somewhere else.
Yeah, I did.
I'm impressed.
That's
okay.
Good. So anyway, it talks about the history of the Russian hockey league, the system, the way that they were trained.
Yeah.
The fact that they had.
Why did they call it Red Army? It's not an army. It's a hockey team.
Yes, but then again,
yes, it is.
That is correct. But then again, on the flip side, we have football players in this country that say that they are warriors and gladiators, and it's a war every Sunday.
Yeah, but they're liars too.
Well,
a few of them.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, yeah. I actually understand the reference. I'm
right, but they had that image of the stoic, emotionless, robotic team. And
only
and
for you,
Donnie, you're out of your element.
They were the best in the world.
They were the best in the world until they came across those scrappy little kids from the U.S. And then the afterfall of that. Now, of course, for me, it's got a little soft spot in my heart because a lot of those Russian players wound up playing for the Detroit Red Wings. And winning a Stanley Cup.
So they got used to losing. No.
They won a Stanley Cup. You be quiet. 1997, fine year for hockey. And that is brought up on this. So there's a fun moment where after the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup, and they were able to actually bring the Stanley Cup to Moscow. So I remember Joe Shearer was at this screening. Mm-hmm. And as well as Ed Johnson, not. And by the way, read Nouveau's 25th anniversary issue this
week.
And
today is National Joe Day.
Is it really?
It is.
And we didn't. Joe's not here.
Kudos to Joe.
Congrats, Joe. Even though you're a Cardinals fan.
Sloppy Joe Day. Okay.
It's not Sloppy Joe.
It's
Day.
Sloppy Joe.
It's both.
You're and Kevin Hart Day.
It is not Kevin Hart Day.
Have a heart, Joe.
But wow, you said that. But anyway, this,
I've made the host lose his speech.
That's all right. Joe Shearer admits to not being a hockey fan and was really enthralled by the film.
Really?
And part of it is the camaraderie between the players. They lose one captain that they absolutely adored, and not just because he enjoyed hockey, but they had unorthodox training methods to the guy who wound up coaching the Olympic hockey team in 1980. Not a fun guy.
Wow.
And then what happened to their careers afterwards? But the Russian players being available to play in North America turned out to be a smart political move and helped improve hockey here in the NHL.
Sounds awesome.
It's worth checking out. I really enjoyed it. And Johnson and I believe really enjoyed it. I don't think you have to be a hockey fan to appreciate the story. So
where's it going to play?
It's going to play where not Kevin Hart's film is playing.
Oh, bummer.
So you can go see Get and Red Army at the Keystone and go have a cocktail or two.
Okay.
So that's out there. That's over there.
Okay.
Kobe.
Yep.
How are things at your alma mater?
They are back up and running tonight at 6:30 from 1957 in the Ray Bradbury series. We have A Sound of Different Drummers. Mm-hmm. Then follow that up at 9:30 with the classic Fahrenheit 451.
Francois Truffaut's first English language film.
Really?
With Julie Christie. Yes.
Wow.
Then, Saturday, March 28th, 3 o'clock from 1956, Moby Dick.
John Huston directed it with Gregory Peck.
I love Gregory Peck.
He's good.
And then
Greg Peck.
At 6:30.
Is he playing the whale?
He is not playing the whale. He's Ahab.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, Cobe.
who's doing the part of the whale?
Exactly.
Then at 6:30 Saturday night, IU Cinema from 1983, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Jonathan Pryce, Jason Robards, and Pam Grier's in that.
Really?
Yes, really.
That's awesome.
You might have to check that out.
I might have to.
Or, you know, unless you're not in the mood.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Sunday, March 29th from 2014, National Gallery at 3 o'clock. That's at IU Cinema. And then in the International Art House series, Sunday evening at 6:30 from last year, Zhao Zha.
Okay.
So there you go.
Cool.
That's pretty exciting.
The IMA.
Now, for those who don't know, you were in your last, but the IMA is doing a bracket.
Yes.
Because
continuing with our
time.
Theme of being cool. March. And, actually, I had an awesome transition I was going to say.
Did you?
You were talking about 30 for 30s. Have you seen I Hate Christian Laettner?
I did see I Hate Christian Laettner.
Like that.
I liked it. I still don't like him.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's hoping he gets out of his money troubles, but...
Wow.
No, he's got some...
Yeah, I know.
He had some bad business choices. But interesting story, because I was in college at the time he was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a guy who actually can open a book and
yes.
read things from
yes.
North Carolina. Or Duke.
Duke. But Duke is in North Carolina.
That's
so,
true. And they
know.
Don't like each other.
No.
But no, that was a fascinating story.
Love the 30 for 30s.
I do enjoy the 30 for 30s. I introduced Emma. She had not seen the... Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding.
Price of Gold?
Price of Gold. We watched that
wow.
this week. So so now she knows about that. And then, what was the other one? Oh, I watched Robbed again, which was about the Ollie Norton fight in Yankee Stadium in 1976.
I didn't see that one.
Bad move because, well, good news was they were going to have a big heavyweight fight in New York. Problem was it was in Yankee Stadium in the 70s. Bronx in the 70s, not a fun place.
Wow.
Not a fun place. So anyway.
Continuing with our basketball and bracket themes.
Here on the film show.
Yes, the Indianapolis Museum of Art has a film bracket that they have going on right now during tournament time to vote on the final four movies of their Summer Nights series for this year.
And can people log on?
People can go to the IMA's website, imamuseum.org, click on films, and then click on Summer Nights, and it'll take you to the bracket, and you can see the bracket. The full bracket, 64 film field, four different regions.
But no play-in films.
No play-in films. We went through this
last week. What would the play-in films be?
I don't know. Well,
a Will Ferrell movie?
You got to have, well, you got to be in the genres, too. So the regions are classic, cult classic, thriller slash suspense, and 1980s.
Okay. Did we write down our results? We should.
We didn't write them down, but I kind of remember.
Okay, that's fine.
But here we go. So we're past, and you can go on the website here, and you can see the updated bracket and see what people have voted for.
Okay.
So we're in the round of 32 now. So this was a tough matchup. The first thing that you see in the classic bracket is Singing in the Rain against Gone with the Wind,
because Abdul picked
Gone with the Wind. Abdul picked Gone with the Wind all the way through.
All the way, yeah. That was his Kentucky.
Yep. Wow. Well, there's an upset. Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So
bring it.
So we have Singing in the Rain and The Philadelphia Story.
I'm sorry, Abdul. You were wrong.
I'm gonna pick Philadelphia Story
over Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I know you're picking Singing in the Rain because that's the stuff.
Yep. Okay. That is the stuff. Goldfinger over Rear Window.
Over?
Or Goldfinger against Rear Window.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh, boy.
No. Which one is Kevin Hart in?
Will you shut up? I know, I'm probably flip-flopping because I don't remember my picks from last week.
Oh, we didn't go, each
That's
individual
true.
One.
Oh, man.
I'm saying Goldfinger. Rear Window beat out My Fair Lady, so.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll go Goldfinger.
Okay. Maltese Falcon.
I'm going Rear Window.
Okay, Rear Window. Okay.
Maltese Falcon, Cool Hand Luke.
Maltese Falcon. Because I remember that. That's going in my four.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 7 Year Itch and The Sting.
The Sting. As much as I'd love to look at Marilyn on an air vent.
All right.
Duck,
in an air.
Here we go. Shut up. In the cult classic, Donnie Darko against Dune.
Oh, God. That's Dune by default.
Spinal Tap and Serenity.
Spinal Tap
beat out Full Metal Jacket.
Wow.
Well, it's always been said, first half Full Metal Jacket is great, second half Full Metal Jacket, good, not great.
I think as we continue on down through the results here, you can kind of get a feel for the age range of people that are voting.
Great whippersnappers.
Big Lebowski and Clerks.
Ooh, Big Lebowski. Wow.
Lebowski.
Yeah.
Lebowski beat out Blazing Saddles.
And I know that was a favorite
there
here
you
last
go.
Week. Yeah.
Wow.
Young Frankenstein and Harold and Maude.
Ooh. I'm going to pick Harold and Maude.
I'd have to go Young Frankenstein.
I love Young Frankenstein, but I just I want Harold to be
Maude
shown
doesn't care anymore. She's
at the
dead.
IMA. Will you stop that? But Harold's still with us, as is music by Cat Stevens.
Yeah, but he's irrelevant now.
Bud Cort is never irrelevant.
He is so irrelevant.
No.
He's working at Aldi's now.
He's not working at Aldi's. Anyway, sorry.
Harold and Maude beat out the 1956 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That's,
in the cult classic region.
That's a good one. Okay. And now the Kobe Doesn't Care region.
Yep, Thriller and Suspense, Shining, Silence of the Lambs.
Shining.
Okay. Seven, Shining. Night of the Living Dead.
Wait, what?
Seven and Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. I know, I can see where you're talking about the age range, but yeah, Night of the Living Dead.
Cape Fear and Carrie.
Which version?
76 Carrie, 62 Cape Fear.
Ooh. That's tough.
Because.
I have to go Cape Fear.
Man.
Probably won't win.
No, cause. I'll pick Cape Fear, and Emma's been wanting to watch Carrie in the daytime.
Really?
She's 13. Oh, no, she's a tough little 13-year-old. She wants to see The Exorcist. She wants to see Carrie.
You're going to let her read my books.
She wants to see
you.
Seven, yeah, the pop-up version. But she'll only watch him in the daytime. I'm like, all right, I can handle that. Kobe, scary movies in the daytime don't help either?
Nope,
okay,
not at all.
Never mind.
Okay. Rosemary's Baby from 68 against Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects, because I am Kaiser Soze.
Usual Suspects beat out L.A. Confidential in the first round.
That's tough. That's wow. a tough
See,
that's
what I'm saying.
Match.
There's a lot of tough.
This is more interesting than the bracket, than the actual NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, they didn't rank them. They didn't give them seedings as, play 16, 2
you
plays
know
15.
Because those people have jobs. You know there's some single unemployed basement dwellers that would actually come up with a bracket and a play-in game.
Yeah. But, I mean, come on, Singing in the Rain and Gone with the Wind, That's
out.
That's not a 1-6. That's maybe a 1-2 in the bracket, not a 1-16
right,
matchup.
Exactly.
Same with Usual Suspects and LA Confidential.
Yeah, no, I've always thought Gone with the Wind sucks, to be honest.
Now, text from Bianca in 3-2-1.
Finally,
who's that guy who's dissing Gone with the Wind?
In the 1980s bracket, Pretty in Pink against Ferris.
Ferris. Oh,
gosh, Ferris, I guess.
Beetlejuice against Ghostbusters.
Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Ooh.
No? You have a pick there?
Probably Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Ghostbusters beat out Stand By Me.
That's good. A whiny film.
I
I'm
hate
sorry.
Those kids.
Princess Bride and Caddyshack.
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 Sorry. Princess Bride beat Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Caddyshack beat Gremlins.
Yeah, you know what, kids? You can't go to Caddyshack. I haven't seen Caddyshack, but yeah, you kids stay home that night.
Here we go. Here's an upset from everybody for last week. Roadhouse against Spaceballs.
Whoa, that's Roadhouse versus Spaceballs?
Roadhouse versus Spaceballs. I'll tell you what the upset
wow.
is.
All right, there's got to be a lot of liquor, but Roadhouse. Because here's
really?
here's my problem.
Oh.
I love
Spaceballs.
I like Spaceballs. I would have loved Spaceballs if it were released in 1983 instead of 1986.
Why?
Because I think it's a little.
I wasn't
little,
sober that year. I don't remember.
But it's a little late to the game, I think, to poke fun at sci-fi.
But it was a better film than Roadhouse.
Pain don't hurt. Okay, what were the upsets?
Okay,
on that?
So Roadhouse beat Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan in the first
oh,
round.
Oh yeah, because we all picked that.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, this is a young group voting.
And Spaceballs beat Beverly Hills Cop.
Eddie
I'm
is
okay.
so ticked.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, he's gonna point.
So there
that.
You go.
Aren't they making like number 21 now. Okay.
There's the round of 32. We'll check back in next week.
This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually pretty good. So
this is actually good.
This that was good.
This is Pope Radio goodness.
That's right. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. We have a dead person we like, and we have a person on wheels we like. That's the Richard Probst. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter @MatthewSoci. Hanging out with Richard Probst, the independent critic, and Kobe Slagle, the guy with the bracketology. And before we went to break, we were going over the IMA brackets, and you were reminding me, because I know I was a big fan, still am, of Plan 9 from Outer Space, mm-hmm. which got apparently upset in the first round in the cult classics region. And who did they lose to?
Clerks.
They lost to Clerks. So, and it's funny because that's going to coincide a little bit with Dead People We Like, because one of the actors from Plan 9.
Kevin Smith is dead?
No, Kevin Smith is not dead. But Gregory Walcott, who was an actor in Plan 9 from Outer Space, died at the age of 87. See, if this were IFC instead of ESPN, there would be a 20-minute article about the legacy of Gregory Walcott and how Plan 9 should win the tournament in his honor. Because you have to have at least some you have to have either a coach's a relative of the coach or a relative of the player who dies in order to get the inspiration and momentum to win it all. It's kind of like the Olympics.
Yep.
So many dead relative stories in the Olympics. So anyway,
apparently, like a prerequisite.
Yeah, apparently not enough momentum for Plan 9 for Outer Space. So sorry about that. We'll get to Gregory Walcott in a little bit. Got a few titles that are out on DVD and Blu-ray. By the way, I haven't done the shameless plug portion of the show. William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night is opening next Friday on Hawaiian Shirt Day at Earlham College.
Are they doing it in Hawaiian shirts?
No, we're not doing it in Hawaiian shirts. It's next Friday and Saturday night, as well as the following Friday and Saturday night at Earlham College, 7:30 curtain. It's being directed by Mrs. Sosie, and yours truly has a cameo in it.
Wow. Earlham is not that far away.
No, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, people are astounded at the commute I make to work, and full disclosure, it is 65 minutes from home to WFYI.
Of course he drives 90. But
I do not drive 90. So I think I can get, it's a straight shot across 70. Or if I'm not in a hurry, 40. But it's a straight shot.
Around.
Yeah. But yeah. I can get to downtown
if
Indy.
If you want to take the scenic route.
There is a scenic route. You get to go through Centerville and
Knightstown.
Yeah, all those.
Cambridge City rocks.
Exactly. And I can get to downtown Indy, I think, faster than some people in Carmel and Zionsville and Fisher's. Not Kobe. He also
depending.
Drives yeah, depending.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so it's worth the trip.
It is. Yeah. A trip to Richmond trip to Earlham, not that big a deal. Twelfth Night is.
It's a beautiful campus. Good place to go and have dinner before the show.
Very good. You can go.
That's
the fire.
True, though. I mean, there's some great restaurants there.
Yes, yeah, so you can go to the Firehouse. You can go to New Boswell, local brewery, and as well as J&J and Big Dog. So anyway, yeah. Plenty of stuff out there in Richmond. You can go check out.
When are they
going to
do
Twelfth
the
Night.
First 11 nights?
That's starting now, really, because
cool.
They open
okay.
next. We open next week.
So really, you should go there and stay for like a week.
But not at my house. Not at my house. Sorry.
I ruined your shameless plug, didn't I?
No, it's fine. No, you're fine. I called. I called my house the Slackers Club Med. We're booked. Between the movies and the music, yeah, you won't get a tan, but you won't get bored. Okay, new on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Finally on Blu-ray, so I guess we can move on.
What?
The Hobbit.
Smog.
Not Smaug.
Smaug. Oh, wait, no. It's done now.
Yeah, this is the last.
That's fine. It was more smoggy than
this was
smog.
This was the film that had four screenwriters writing almost more fight scenes than Battle Royale. And now it's done.
And that's a lot.
Remember when the story. Remember when this was about Bilbo Baggins?
But no, I don't remember that.
No, of course
it's
not.
Like 20 years before
and Leonard
Peter
Nimoy,
Jackson.
We can still hear Leonard Nimoy singing. Anyway, that's finally out there. Yeah, the fight scenes are cool. And it's shorter than the other films, but I kind of tuned out.
And I like Benedict Cumberbatch's voice.
Yes, and I like Martin Freeman. You don't like Martin Freeman?
I don't like him.
What did he ever do to you?
He hasn't made a film with Kevin Hart yet.
You're an idiot. And he's coming back next week. but I figure between Bilbo Baggins and Dr. Watson, he's in good shape for a while.
Oh, that's Martin.
Wouldn't it be weird if Kevin Hart was listening?
No.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, Twitter would blow up, but it's not.
I might actually finally get my interview.
Oh. So this is...
I want a Kevin Hart interview.
And it was denied?
No.
You never reply.
I go through weird methods trying to get interviews. Appearing on radio shows that he doesn't listen to.
Oh, this is the method?
Yeah, this is it. This is how I'm going to try to get my Kevin Hart interview.
Good luck with that. Anyway, The Hobbit is out there. I guess the bigger the screen and better the sound system, that's, yeah, you can enjoy that.
Yeah.
Also out on Blu-ray.
It is not available on VHS, in case you're wondering.
Well, actually, there was a story about VHS tapes we'll get to in a little bit. Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Also out on DVD and Blu-ray, Into the Woods. Did you and Fair Sweet watch, because it's a musical.
I did not see it, but Fair Sweet saw it.
Did she like it?
Does
she know the story?
I don't think so. I don't think she did going in.
Ah. You know what? We should call her at work.
We should. We'll do that.
Oh, we've done that before, folks. You enjoyed it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
No, I didn't love it. I liked it.
Yes, Meryl Streep's nomination deserved. Mm-hmm. Best thing about it.
Emily Blunt really blew me away.
She's really good. Well, it's funny that we know a lot of people now that can sing.
Yeah.
Chris Pine had a lot of, it was fun watching him. You know what? Johnny Depp didn't irritate me.
He didn't irritate me.
He just had one moment and that was it. But everybody in it sings fine.
Gordon.
Yes.
Who is now late.
Yes, Mr. Late. Everybody in it's fine. I think, I would have liked a PG-13 musical. And I think the complaint, and I'm going to, this was the thing I wanted to ask Fair Sweet Bianca, is I think a lot of people who don't know the story are probably not expecting Act Two.
Really?
I think so. For a lot of people, it's, because Act One is all the characters we know.
Mm-hmm.
With Sondheim doing the music, and then there is a great, and Anna Kendrick and the others, and then there's an intermission, and then Act Two, of course, is what happens after Happily Ever After. And I think a lot of the mall crowd didn't see that coming. And wow. I think
they need to get out more.
They do. And also, I think because it's Disney and they wanted a PG film,
true.
I think they kind of, not they addressed it, but I think briefly about death. I think
let's just be honest. They ruined the film.
They didn't ruin the film. Key and Peele already had that moment. No, although that press conference as the Seahawks was fine. So that's right. Anyway, liked it, didn't love it. So,
yeah.
So overall, there was that. And then also out, there are always films that we get we'll get award screeners for, mm-hmm. and it'll get a push, and then sometimes it gets nominations, sometimes it gets pushed by the wayside. The other film that came out this week on DVD and Blu-ray is Unbroken.
Oh.
Which I know you were not.
Which does not describe my legs. Thank you.
No,
thank you very much.
No, they don't. But it's the film directed by Angelina Jolie. And it's as Chris Lloyd referred to it, it was Chariots of Fire meets Life of Pi meets Bridge on the River Kwai, only shorter
and much worse.
I of course much said Lifeboat. Worse. I had the Lifeboat in there, but
wow!
At the very least, I think it will make you want to go and find out more about this guy and maybe read the book.
May make you want to slit your wrist.
You seem okay though.
Well, yeah. I didn't succeed. No.
One cliche moment after a number for you?
I just, I honestly, and the real problem for me, I thought it had amazing potential. And yes, people who know the book and they know the story, this is a great story. I thought Jolie ruined it. I mean, I thought there was way too much glorified cinematography. I mean, kind of Junior Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think the performances were that great. I mean, the person I liked the most was the bad guy. That's never a good sign.
Which I know Chris Lloyd referred to as a cartoon.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But he was at least interesting. The only thing I kept thinking about with, what's his name? O'Connell? Connell?
Yes.
Was that he had perfect hair the whole time.
Well, it's hard to maintain that when you're in a POW camp. And stuck at sea
for
days.
It didn't work for me.
Okay. Cope, were you actually going to make a call?
I was working on it.
Okay. Do we want to try? All right, let's get through the old titles. We'll get the dead people we like, and then we'll try it.
Yeah.
Here we go, folks. Live radio, as you know it. Okay, a couple of old titles of note. Some of the Errol Morris documentaries are now out on Blu-ray, especially noted Thin Blue Line, which, of course, broke a lot of ground as far as documentary filmmaking, Gates of Heaven, which was, I remember Siskel and Ebert raving about that on At the Movies back when it was on PBS.
Wow.
And it was just one of those, a documentary about a pet cemetery, not Stephen King's Pet Cemetery. Or the Ramones song. Also, an underrated
film from Robert Altman from the late 80s called Vincent and Theo.
Wow.
Starring Tim Roth.
It's out?
And it's out on Blu-ray, and it's about Vincent Van Gogh and his brother. And it's something that's, you know, if you know Altman's work, we love, you know, the script is a guide in Altman's world. It's not Mamet, let's put it that way. And so this was Altman's take on the tortured artist. But it was more than that, because it was a story about siblings. And it's really well done.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
And it's one of those, if you rattled off 15 Altman films, I'd be impressed if this made it in your 15, because he's done so much work. And you think of, I think you obviously think of the heavy hitters like MASH.
But he
has
stopped.
Well, yeah, he had to. He had to. So
sorry.
That's all right. We mentioned earlier Gregory Walcott, who was an actor in Plan 9 from Outer Space, died at the age of 87. Died last week. And I love this. His obituary made the New York Times.
Wow.
I think that's cool. So this is one of those. You go to IMDb, and yeah, he's done all sorts of things. He was on the 60s TV series 87th Precinct. He also did episodes of Bonanza and Maverick, and he worked on Rawhide and wound up working with Clint Eastwood again in The Iger Sanction and Every Which Way But Loose. He was in Steven Spielberg's Sugarland Express.
Wow.
Spielberg film that nobody remembers. It was his follow-up to Dune.
Or I don't think follow-up to Duel. Remembers that.
Do you remember? And it's the film he did before Jaws. He was in Norma Rae. But he was best known for being in Plan 9 from Outer Space. And I love the fact. And apparently he did it because he was a friend of the writer. No, it was a friend of. Oh, because one of the producers was a friend of his. Sorry. But prior to this, he was in Mr. Roberts.
Wow.
He worked with Henry Fonda, but he played the pilot in Plan 9 from Outer Space. And if you remember the great scenes in the pot with the cockpit, it looks like a shower curtain with two seats. You know, my production of Star in the Door of last week at Scottish Rite Cathedral had more production value than that scene in Plan 9. It's great, but I love Plan 9. He just had a good attitude about it. He said, I didn't want to be remembered for that. This is what he told the LA Times 15 years ago. But it's better to be remembered for something than for nothing, don't you think?
Aww.
That's cool. And when his last screen appearance, he had a cameo in Tim Burton's film Ed Wood.
Wow.
If I remember right,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I believe he was one of the. I think he was one of the churchgoers.
Really?
That baptized. I have to check on that. But
I have to go home and watch it again.
That's my favorite Tim Burton film, by far. I love Ed Wood. Martin Landau's amazing in it. It's Johnny Depp being eccentric without being irritating, and it's a Valentine. And it's like Big Eyes, like the film that he did last year that hardly anybody saw, where it's a Valentine to a particular piece of art or artwork, and he doesn't put it on a huge pedestal. He just puts it out there to share it with you.
And so nobody goes to see it.
Well, more people saw Ed Wood,
okay.
I guess, but not enough people saw that either. But I'm reading from the New York Times. His last screen appearance was a cameo in Ed Wood about the making of Plan 9, an eccentric auteur. Mr. Maddox, his son, said that when a bar called Plan 9 Ale House opened near his home in Escondido, California last year, he gave the owners, with Mr. Walcott's blessing, a copy of his Plan 9 script to use as wallpaper in the men's room. That's cool. So be on the lookout for Plan 9 Ale House in California.
Wow.
So... one other thing, if you go to Here and Now, which is the show that you can hear from 1 to 3 on WFYI HD1, they did a piece today, I heard, about Yale University is starting a VHS archive for horror films.
Really?
Yes. So go to hereandnow.wbur.org.
I still have a VHS player.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. I don't know if it works.
Really?
Because for a long time, it was trying to find the either DVD or Blu-ray versions of these tapes so I can get them out of here.
Oh.
Except for handmade tapes, you know, blank tapes that I've recorded stuff on, I'm down to about 20.
Wow. I don't think I could get rid of my VHS.
Really?
I do have a lot of old indie horror.
So, well, I'm looking through, and the picture on here, let's see, Mr. Frost, Kill Kill Overkill, Blood Games, The Necrophiles. Don't look that up at work. Splatter, Shock 'em Dead. So these are, I mean, these aren't even,
wow,
these aren't even Halloween. You know, this isn't Halloween Friday. These are the knockoffs or the knockoffs of the knockoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, To Catch a Killer.
The stuff that won't end up on Blu-ray, more than likely.
Trapped. Yeah, Kill.
Unless something like Cheesy Flix picks them up.
Haunted Ween. Killer Workout.
Ooh.
Ooh, not Jillian Michaels. Yeah, The Cradle Will Fall, Split Image. Yeah, fascinating stuff. And yeah, these littered shelves nationwide back in the 80s.
Wow.
So, Kobe, how are we on time?
What do we got? We got like 4 minutes.
Should we call Bianca?
Nah, we'll do it next time.
Really?
Figure out how to work this thing. Yeah.
Or did you text her in advance, watch what we might be calling?
She's like, not while that footless guy's on the show.
Wow, she would so not say that.
She hates amputees.
She does not.
She told me.
No, she did not. You're making this up.
Yeah, I saw her post it on Facebook.
No. No, you
she whispered it. When we walked by you at that one screening, we saw you at the Studio Movie Grill.
Don't like him. It was like Wolf of Wall Street. He's obnoxious. That's one of my. So one of these times we're gonna just go through Bianca's greatest hits. I have a list of them, but one of them was, I'm sorry, Bianca, we love you. You're a really good sport, like all the women in my life. But she, Kobe told the story that they were an hour into Wolf of Wall Street.
Uh-oh.
And that's what she said.
It's obnoxious.
An hour. It took an hour to figure that out.
Was she saying it to you or about the film?
About the film.
Okay. Yeah, but no, Kobe's
clarifying.
But I mean, you know, I don't know, the dwarf tossing scene in the first, you know, first 2 minutes wasn't a dead giveaway. Of
what else do you do with dwarves?
Wow.
You toss them.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
You're going to get hate mail from dwarves now this week.
Spears family. So anyway.
The plane.
Wow, you're a... what's going on at Independent Critic? Because I know none of this material's on there.
I'm relatively tame in real life. It's only when I come on your show that I go
really
completely wild.
We unleash your inner hellion. Is that it?
In front of a microphone, and I'm a different person.
Boy, I wish the show was. Sometimes I wish the show was on Sundays just to see what would happen. Oh, it is on Sundays, sort of.
I would just throw in a lot of scriptures.
Really?
I'm only kidding, people. Okay, don't.
Yeah, Richard. Richard is a Renaissance man. If you go to the Independent
or
Critic,
at least 2/3 of one.
Sir Paul Hums.
The rest of me is indie horror.
So
limbs cut off.
What's happening at the Independent Critic? What's happening at your website?
Oh, what's happening? Well,
a little
actually,
of this, a little of that.
You know, a little of this, a little of that.
IndependentCritic.com is now reviewing books and music.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're just inventing all sorts of, you know,
we are. We decided to branch out. You know, I wrote a book, The Hallelujah Life.
Yes.
And
which you can get at?
Well, you can get it on Amazon.
Or you can go to the Independent Critic.
Or theindependentcritic.com.
Money goes quick, straight to the source on that
Go
page.
Straight to the source. Go to me. And, you know, anyway, I learned how hard it was for indie artists to really get good coverage. So I thought...
Y or IE or both?
Yes.
That's
I
both.
Guess both.
Well, you said indie, so...
That's
you know.
True. I was thinking more independent
indie.
Artists.
Okay, there you go. And independent Indianapolis artists as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to do something about that, you know, and I saw people trying to exploit it by charging people for reviews and all that, and I just abhor that kind of thing. So
you mean like a venue paying a musician with exposure,
or yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. By the way, McDonald's at South by Southwest. Stay classy.
Exactly.
Stay classy, guys. Exactly. Look that up. By the way, that's a fun to get paid in French fries.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, cool.
So anyway, yeah, we're doing that. So if you're an independent artist or author or musician, I would love to get your material. You can look at the independentcritic.com, and I'd be happy to give you a review.
There you go. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, forget 12th Night is next weekend at Earlham College. Well worth the drive, and we have some words to live by. Oh,
man, I see. Well, I gave you the cue.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
I got all caught up looking at the Independent Critic.
Oh, that's a good.
No, it was. I'm serious.
All right. Well, go check out The Independent Critic and go see a good movie. You deserve it. Thank you, Richard. And Richard's probably going to fill in for me next week.
So be prepared.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Bring your shoes.
He won't. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.